Good morning, Kansas City, and welcome to our Kansas City Christian Faith Center radio broadcast. This is Dr. Michelle McIntosh, First Lady of this church. Pastor John McIntosh and I thank you for joining us today and trust that this time together will be a blessing to all our listeners. And if you like what you hear, please invite your loved ones to tune in as well. Due to the coronavirus, our church continues to meet every Sunday by way of teleconferencing. Please join us every Sunday afternoon from 2 p.m. to 3:30 p.m. via freeconference.com. Our call-in number is 605-313-4834, and the access code is 997-020#. You may also obtain this call-in information on our website at kccfc.net. One more important announcement. I'm happy to advise that on September 2nd, 2021, my book titled Prayers That Reach the Throne of God was released for sale. You may purchase my book on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, or visit our website at kccfc.net. This God-inspired teaching on prayer will give you the understanding on how to pray effectively against Satan and his demonic assignments. Now, the next voice you hear will be that of Pastor John McIntosh.
Good morning. This is Pastor John McIntosh from Kansas City Christian Faith Center, where we live victoriously, spirit, soul, and body. And let me welcome you to our radio broadcast. And please remember these words from the book of Romans, chapter 10, verse 17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Well, praise God for another privilege and an opportunity to share with you the living word of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege and the honor to gather around your word. It is our sincere desire to know you more personally, so we may serve you more faithfully. We invite the Holy Spirit in to think through my mind and speak through my lips the wisdom, knowledge, and understanding and the truth of the only true and living God. I pray for everyone within the sound of my voice that their ears are open to hear and their hearts to receive the uncompromising word of God. We rebuke you, Satan, and render your powers null and void, and you cannot stop anyone from receiving what they came for today. This we ask and covenant with you, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, the anointing one's name we pray. Shalom. Amen. Well, if you have your Bibles, please open them to Proverbs chapter 11. Again, that's Proverbs chapter 11. And we will read our foundational scripture we have been using for our teaching on integrity. Now, there's a good chance we'll probably finish today. If not, next week we'll certainly be through with this particular important topic on integrity. So if you found Proverbs 11, please go to verse 3 and follow along as I read. The integrity of the upright will guide them, but the perversity of the unfaithful will destroy them. Once again, the integrity of the upright will guide them, but the perversity of the unfaithful will destroy them. So we see integrity is a guide for those who are upright, or those who are standing in right position with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But it says the perversity of the unfaithful will destroy them. The perversity of the unfaithful will destroy them. So we have two options here. Either you're going to be living with integrity and live upright, or you're going to live in sin and be unfaithful and be destroyed. Now, we have taken these particular character traits, as I call them, from 1 Timothy chapter 3. So would you please go there, please? 1 Timothy chapter 3. And we're going to read from verse 1 through 7. And these are certain character traits for a position of a bishop. And it says this: this is a faithful saying. If a man desires the position of a bishop, he desires a good work. Now, a bishop is a person who is a leader of a congregation. So that title carries a lot of responsibility and leadership. So it says, this is a faithful saying. If a man desires the position of a bishop, he desires a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, temperate, sober-minded, of good behavior, hospitable, able to teach, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not covetous, one who rules his own house well, having his children in submission with all reverence. For if a man does not know how to rule his own house, how will he take care of the church of God? Not a novice or a new Christian or a new convert, least being puffed up with pride, he falls into the same condemnation as the devil. Moreover, he must have a good testimony among those who are outside, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. Now, these are character traits of a position of a bishop, but I believe it's across the board. I believe this is for Christians also. And we as Christians, whether you want to accept it or not, you are a leader. When you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you are stamped as a leader. And I believe these character traits that are positioned for a bishop, anyone that's in the body of Christ should also desire to live by those particular character traits. Now, we have already discussed several of those, and we were on trait number 15, character trait number 15. And I also call these integrity building blocks. These are blocks that if you live by these particular character traits, and as you continue to live and be mature in the other one, then the other block is added on, and you continually grow and grow and grow in the things of God, and you're going to be successful in your life. Now, we were on character trait number 15, which is not puffed up with pride. Not puffed up with pride. Now, pride is a form of deception that causes a person to think of himself or herself of having a conceited sense of superiority, and you are better than anyone else. Pride is also the heart or the core, the bedrock of racial and ethnic prejudice. And the Bible has much to inform us about that subject. But in order to understand a subject, it is always important to go back and find out or discover the origin of it. So turn your Bibles, please, to the book of Isaiah chapter 14. Isaiah chapter 14. And we're going to read verse 13 through 15. And it says, for you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars or the angels of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation, on the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Verse 15. Yet you shall be brought down to Sheol, to the lowest depths of the pit. We see Satan, a creation of Almighty God, just as we are creations, being deceived into thinking he is going to exalt himself above the stars or the angels of God. Pride entered. Pride, a form of deception. Now, please go to the book of Proverbs, chapter 11. We were just there, but go back to Proverbs, chapter 11. And we're going to read verse number 2. And it says, when pride comes, then comes shame. Amen. It says, when pride comes, then come chains, but with the humble is wisdom. Amen. So right after pride comes shame. But those of us who are humble and respectful to the things of God, wisdom is given or imparted to us. Amen. Now, please go to Proverbs 16. Proverbs chapter 16. And let's read verse number 18. It said, pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Now, this is what happened to Lucifer, and is a perfect example of pride being out of control. Now, he was the most beautiful of archangels and was called the anointed cherub that covers until he became prideful and decided to challenge Almighty God by saying he was going to ascend above the heights of the clouds and be like the Most High. Now, can you believe that? A created being, someone that God created, and he had the nerve or the pride to think that he was going to ascend above the heights of the clouds and be as high as the Most High. Now, I have often quoted the nursery rhyme. You guys remember it, Humpty Dumpty, how he sat on the wall and Humpty Dumpty had a great fall, and all the king's horses and all the king's men could not put Humpty together again. Well, Lucifer did not fall. He made a conscientious decision based on his pride to challenge Almighty God. And in doing so, he had one of the greatest falls in the history of mankind. And in doing so, he lost his anointing, the almighty power that God had given him because of his pride. What a stupid mistake. Pride leads to self-exhortation, and you will never want to exhort yourself, nor do you need to. You never have to promote yourself to think that you're better than anybody else. The Bible promises that God will exhort you in due season. Amen. God will exhort you. And see, sometimes you're not ready to be exhorted. You might think you are, but you're not. Please go to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. And we're going to read verse number 6. And it says, therefore, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Who's going to do the exhorting? God is going to do the exhorting. It says that he may exalt you in good time. If you allow God to promote you, then no man will be able to demote you. Amen. Amen. But if you attempt to promote yourself as Lucifer tried to do, chances are you will end up demoted. Remember, anything that is gained by you promoting you or compromising, remember, anything that is gained by you compromising, you will eventually lose. So when you know from a standpoint of the Word of God and you are doing right and you do not need to falsely promote yourself, because your awareness of your self-worth is not predicated on some position or in what man thinks. Your rightful and faithful self-worth comes from God alone. Did you get that? Your rightful and faithful self-worth comes from God alone. Knowing that he loves and values you enough that he made us in his own image and likeness, and gave us his very best, his son Jesus Christ. Amen, amen. Now, let's go to character trait number 16. Character trait number 16. And that is, must have a good testimony. Must have a good testimony. Now, probably the best way to explain a good testimony would be you having a good reputation of integrity. Having a good reputation of integrity. Now, let's say, just for conversation purposes, that I owned a business and I was looking for someone to run my financial department. Someone of high character and integrity. And I had a particular person in mind, but he is working as a financial advisor for another company, ABC Company. And I want him to work for me. Well, first of all, I would go to that company's management or HR department and ask, is it okay for me to approach him to work for my company? Because you always want to do things decently and in order. I would not go behind another company to try to bring someone in to work for me. You have to do it decently and in order. And after I'd done that, and I was given the okay that I can speak with this particular person that I had in mind that I wanted to run my financial department, I then would want to talk to the people with whom he worked with at the ABC company. And what would his co-workers have to say about him? Now, they do not have to be Christians, nor do they have to like you. But they should not be able to say anything negatively about your character or lifestyle. They should not be able to find a legitimate fault about you. They should not be able to say, well, you know, Mr. X's word is not worth a dime. He lies all the time, and he's never on time for our meetings. Now, this could be a red flag regarding this person's integrity, and he might have to be vetted more securely than ordinarily. He might have the intellectual skills to run a business, and many people do, but their personal integrity does not line up with the character of God's standard. Please go to Proverbs chapter 20. Yes, his personal integrity does not line up with the character of God's standards. Proverbs 20, verse number 11. It says, even a child is known by its deeds, whether what he does is pure or right. That's right. It says, whether child. You remember when we were little, there were some children in the neighborhood that had little bad reputations. People talk about, oh, here comes that little old bad boy again. Watch him. He'll steal anything you got. So, you know, you want to make sure that you don't have that type of reputation. Amen? Now, over a given amount of time, people will watch you and your actions. And what they notice most is not what you say, but is what you do. And they seem to always notice the little things. It's always the little things. They may not say anything to you about it at the time. Several years could pass and end up working with them, and they still remember that little thing. Then one day, you get enough nerve to reach out to them in friendly companionship. And guess what happens? They bring up what they saw you did several years ago. Go to the book of Song of Solomon. Song of Solomon. Yeah, they'll watch you. They don't really care what you say, even though they hear it, but they watch you. What your actions, that is what they look at, and that's what they analyze the most. What do you do? Does your words line up with what you say? Okay, the Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse number 15. It says, catch us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vine, for our vines have tender grapes. So it doesn't have to be a big thing that causes your integrity to be called into question. It is the little things. Now, let me give you an example about myself. And what I'm talking about, the little things. Well, I used to work for AT&T, and I worked in multiple departments and held several titles during my employment. And one of those was a system engineer, and we installed and repaired large PBX systems and voice data systems. And one of my customers was the Los Angeles Convention Center, which at the time had one of the latest in communication systems available. The convention center was the national and international hub for all conventions that came in to Los Angeles area, ranging from anywhere from 10 to 10,000 and more participants. They had to have their telecommunication service working. They cannot be down. And what I mean by down is not working for any given amount of time. Otherwise, they would lose money. Now, I remember going on a repair ticket that one of their departments was down and in trouble. And their services were out. They could not receive calls, none of the lights were out, and basically, they didn't have any service. As I began to access the system and analyze the problem, it wasn't a circuit pack, one of the major problems that was causing the problem. It turned out to be a 10-volt fuse that was causing the problem. The little foxes. Here is this big system that a fuse, a little 10-volt fuse, was causing it to go out. So it's not always the major things that will cause the problem. It's the little things. And same way with your integrity. You don't have to do the big things. It's the little things that you can do. You know, not saying thank you, not being the leader of your family, just the little things that will cause people to look at you and question your integrity. If you do not have a good testimony among people, then your testimony will be suspect and people are not going to trust you, nor will they open up to you. They will not be inclined to stand by you in times of challenges or just plain support you. They will be not willing to readily accept your leadership. And that's important. Amen. You know, because everything rises and falls on leadership. If you can't get people to follow you because your integrity is suspect, then what are you going to do? That is why leaders lead by example, while their integrity sets the example. Let me repeat that. That is why leaders lead by example, while their integrity sets the example. Amen. Everything rises and falls on leadership, even your integrity. Having a good testimony, equates to having a reputation for integrity. Amen. Please go to the book of Proverbs, chapter 22. Proverbs chapter 22. You there? Verse number one. It says, a good name is to be chosen rather than great riches, loving favor rather than silver and gold. Let me repeat that. It says, a good name is to be chosen rather than great riches, loving favor rather than silver and gold. Amen. So we see here a good name is worth more than silver and gold. Now, let me give you three good reasons why a good name is better than riches. Number one, a good name provides stability. When you have a good name, people can trust you. That trust is a stabilizing factor in your relationship with them. They know what to expect from you and can lean on your decisions with absolute confidence, knowing that they made the right decisions and that your motives are pure. Amen. All right. Reason number two, a good name is eternal. Riches are fleeting. They could be with you 1 minute and gone the next. And we know that we cannot take the riches with us once we leave this earth realm and it's time for our departure. A good name, however, is eternal. How many men and women of history are still being spoken about in a positive way? Wouldn't it be special if they could do that about you? How will your legacy be remembered and portrayed by families, friends, and colleagues once you are gone? Will they focus on your values of your life or only remember what you cared about yourself and your wealth? Your integrity will have influence on those around you, especially your children. Well, you know what? I am just about out of time, but I thank you for joining us. But let me invite you to our Sunday teleconferencing services. You can join us by simply dialing toll-free 605-313-4834, access code 997-020#. Our services start at 2 p.m. sharp. But until then, please remember these words from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. For we walk by faith, not by sight. God bless you.
Thank you for sharing this time with us. And if this message has been a blessing to you, please consider supporting this ministry with a financial offering. You may send your tax-deductible gift to Kansas City Christian Faith Center at P.O. Box 171431, Kansas City, Kansas 66117, or visit our website at kccfc.net and give online. Until next Wednesday morning, we love you and confess in faith that you will live in victory, spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' name, amen.